and quality service. Patrick can be reached at 530-588-6593 or on Facebook. So, man, we got a lot of sports to cover. So much sports. So with no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's start the show.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
You know the drill. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I'm your co-host, Jero. Derek is out today. He saw his Evertonians lose 6-0 to Rudy's Chelsea squad.
6-0, baby. Let's go.
So Derek decided to leave. Not only leave the show, but leave the country. He decided to get some more stamps on the passport. He just couldn't stand the pain anymore. In all seriousness, Derek is headed down to LA as we speak. He and his father are going to Dublin. I don't know why I said it like that. That wasn't the right accent.
That was
at all.
Not at all. Not
I'm sorry.
Close.
I'm really bad at accents. I need to never bring
that,
him
that
on to the
like
radio show.
That was more of like an English mix.
Again, I'm sorry. Anyway, Derek's gone, but we have a resident degenerate. If you got it, then spin it because you cannot. And you will not take this money with you. Rudy Vasquez.
Let's go, baby.
And of course, producer extraordinaire, the Mac Daddy himself. He owns a horse, even though technically it's a dog. The one, the only, Stepman Brett.
Yeah.
Thing is huge.
Your dog.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
That thing.
The dog that you thought was a pit lab mix.
It was a lab retriever mix.
That's right. Not that.
Not a Dane Mastiff Pyrenees mix.
Yeah, you didn't know you got a lion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The horse is very real. We're looking to get a saddle here shortly with it. Awesome. Just need to get the growth fully in there before we.
So we're talking 140 plus pounds at this point?
Oh, at this point, absolutely. Yeah. Damn. The year checkup was November, and that was 133, 135. So I'd imagine she put on at least close to 10 pounds since then, since
That's
November.
Crazy.
So we're looking probably like 145, almost 150.
Well, shout out to Remy.
Yeah.
Beautiful dog.
Remy for the hunting dog that I was supposed to have.
Yeah.
And now I have a little goofball. So
well,
love her to death.
Yes, that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Right? Oh, man. Like I said, we got a lot of sports to get to today. Obviously, we have the Masters. We're going to break that down with our foreign correspondent, Aaron, shortly after the break. We have your listener questions. We have the NBA postseason to talk about. So much stuff. Man, we got some North State updates. We got all sorts of stuff. Baseball's going on. WNBA draft's going on. But listen, there's a few moments in sports where you always remember where you saw that thing, right? Where you witnessed some level of history, or it was your team winning in a last second or losing on a last second. I know that probably the three of us always will remember where we were when the Giants won their first World Series since moving to San Francisco in 2010. That was a pretty pivotal moment in my life, in my sports fandom life, I'm sure, as it was in yours. Same with the Warriors winning their first title. Never thought I'd see that in my lifetime. And this weekend was one of those moments. It was one of those moments in sports that collectively brings everyone together. Even if you didn't watch it live, you saw the highlights and you lost your mind. So let me add some context, and we're going to get into this call here in just a minute because it was incredible. But Max Holloway is facing off with Justin Gaethje And the for the BMF title, Bad Mother Shut Your Mouth title, the UFC 300 this past weekend, which was just a great card, up and down. Great fights everywhere. But this particular fight was insanity. This particular fight had a lot of hype, both Gaethje and Holloway. Holloway, I've probably seen Holloway fight more than any other UFC fighter. I feel like he's been doing it for 35 years now. I know that's not the case, but he fights a lot. And he's been a prominent fighter, legendary fighter, future Hall of Famer, all that stuff. Gaethje, also excellent fighter. I'm not going to pretend to be UFC savant. I am just a casual observer. I probably watch 5 or 6 fights a year, just to add some context that I'm no expert. But you don't have to be an expert to understand that this fight was awesome. First round is basically over, and at the very end, right before the bell, my guy Holloway hits Gaethje with a spin reverse heel kick to the bridge of his nose and breaks his nose. Fight, you're thinking that's over. Nope. Gaethje comes back out. That's when I turned to everyone at Rudy's house and I said, I'm not built like these guys at all. These guys are built differently than me. If someone breaks my nose, I'm certainly not fighting after that. I'm definitely crying, and I'm going home, and then I'm going to the doctor. I'm not hanging out to go potentially get my face blasted some more. That's not what I'm doing. Gaethje comes back, makes a valiant effort. The fight is all but over. Holloway has it. He's been controlling most of the fight, but valiant effort, like I said, from Gaethje coming back. And with 14 seconds left, Holloway has nothing to win at this point. The fight's over. He's won, but he says no. He points at the middle. He stands in the middle of the octagon, points at the ground, and says, let's swing it out right here, right now. Just haymakers, let's exchange haymakers, and may the best man win. Again, this man had everything to lose. The fight was over, but he decided to go to the middle of the ring, say, let's do this right here, and this is what it sounded like.
Holloway shows some mortality. Look at this. Holloway just told him, stand right here. Oh, big connection late. Oh, decide to wing it, and then Max catches him right here. There it is.
Oh. You bring it.
That was epic,
unbelievable.
And, I mean, he's like, I still haven't won that $300,000 that Dana White last minute put out, because the knockout or the fight of the night used to be $50,000.
Yeah,
and everyone was like, no, we need more, we need more. Long story short, someone shouted out 300,000. 3 seconds later, Dana White said, done. Homie said, this might be the fight of the night already, but he wanted to make sure it was a guaranteed fight of the night. Yeah. And boy,
man, woo,
that was epic.
Incredible. Epic. It's just, like I said, it's one of those moments. It's a knockout I'll remember, I think, for the rest of my life. It's one of those moments where you're going to remember where you were, who you were with, the reaction in that house. And shout out to our boy Jordan, TBP member. He decided that it was more important to go number 2 with 30 seconds left in that fight than to watch the reaction. And then all of a sudden, from the bathroom, he just hears us screaming. We're jumping around in the house. We're pushing each other. We're losing our minds. Everyone's hyped. And, Jordan just texts me, oh, man.
Classic.
Classic Jordan. Classic. Missing something important because of a poop. Second time that's happened in the past 13 months. So
what was the first one?
When San Diego. We were leaving for my bachelor party, and he missed his flight.
Oh, the airport. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was funny. Gosh. And shout out to all the people that had over 4.5 rounds, like your boy right here. But hey, it's all good. It was worth me losing money on that, because that knockout was...
Dude. Oh, that's the part I didn't mention. He knocked him out with one second left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1 second.
1 second. That's all that was insane. Left.
That was in the... I missed it. Was it in the fourth or fifth round?
Fifth. Yeah, it was the last second. Oh, wow. So, it was a small bet, but yeah. It's all good. Yeah. It was well worth it. As much as I don't want to say that this time,
you enjoy the moment. Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, it was incredible. Do you boys have anything else that when I talk about those pivotal moments, those moments you'll never forget, does anything stick out to you in your sports fandom of like a moment, not even necessarily just a team winning, but just a moment that you're like, oh my God? Because I have another one off the top of my head I'll drop right now. That Auburn, the kick six.
Yep.
I'll never forget that.
I will never forget where
Auburn,
I was at there.
Alabama, Iron Bowl. They're in Auburn. And yeah, the kick six is one that it's just one of those where it's like, whoa, what just happened? That's definitely one of them. The Stephon Diggs touchdown a few years ago against the Saints.
That was dope.
I'm just talking about those moments where it's like the whole game switches. It's just, you know.
The Saints and the Niners playoff game because that was their live.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So the last, four lead changes in the past, like 2.5 or 3 minutes.
Yep.
And
that's a good one.
Feeling Candlestick shake the way that that place shook. It was, dude, I went from laughing to crying to crying to laughing. And then next thing you know, I'm hugging the person next to me. It's like, dude, times like that, it's
euphoric.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was the, I believe it was the 2001 St. Louis versus the Giants when they went on to play the. It was 2002, sorry, when they went on to play the Angels. It was that last game before they went on to St. Louis to clinch it. Just watching everything going down the ramp into the streets and just watching San Francisco just go
erupt.
Yeah. Because they knew that they had something special. Unfortunately, it wasn't the year.
No,
it had to
it
be 8 years later down the road. still, just as a kid, just like seeing that and then 8 years later being a part of that. It's electric and euphoric.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, in all of those Giants runs since then, 2010, 2012, 2014, there are so many moments. I mean, it was we never had it easy in any of those runs, any of those series, really. I guess against the Tigers.
Yeah. And you look at the Hunter Pence incident where it's like he rallied him up. They were down.
Against the Reds. Matt Latos on the mound.
Yep. And then, from there then on, you just felt something different. Even though we were down again in that next series, you felt like we were still in it because of what we did the series.
What was
prior.
That, five elimination games in a row
pretty
they won
much,
or
yeah,
something like
pretty
that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Insane. And then I could see Pence screaming at everyone in the dugout to make that comeback, dude. That could oh my God.
That speech right there will live in Giants lore.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. So.
And it's moments like that is the reason we love sports, right? Mm-hmm. Those moments, you remember, like I said, you remember who you were with, you remember that moment. I have a lot of those that went the other way, too. Right?
I think there's more of the other moments than the good moments.
As a Niners fan,
we cherish the better moments.
And they'll keep you going for another 30 years, basically.
I would say as a Niners fan, we've been on the opposite end of that so many times in the biggest spots in the last 10 years. It's
it sucks. The worst part is I'm starting to get used to it. You know, like it's like, oh, we're gonna lose it. Yeah, we end up losing. It's like, and I'm like I'm the most positive person when it comes to the Niners. Like, oh, we'll be fine. But now this season, I'm like, no expectations whatsoever. That's my goal this season for the Niners. So we'll see how long I last.
So
that's
not gonna happen.
Yeah, I know.
You're gonna be unreasonable by week three.
Are you guys planning anything for that NFC Championship game?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure you guys aren't leaving.
Right.
Yeah,
well, I was.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, kind of reverse the jinx.
Well, more or less because
we won the championship game.
Oh, we did? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Oh, I guess it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, never mind.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
it
never
worked
mind.
This year.
I take the jinx back.
Year.
All right.
So, for those of you not knowing what the hell Brad's talking about, the last two times that. So, Rudy and a bunch of us. Get together for the Niners playoff runs every year. And we get together for a couple games in the regular season. But once the playoffs start, we watch every game together. We get very superstitious about it. And the past 2 years that we lost in the championship game, I was traveling. And so the boys told us this year, no traveling during the championship game. So my wife literally moved my birthday trip a week later so that my friends could not blame me in case the Niners lost. And we won. Unfortunately, we had to play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and we didn't win. And that that's has stuck with me ever since. Just like so many Niners losses of recent memory have stuck with me. But anyway, yeah, you know, a little stroll down memory lane there, for better or worse, I suppose. Let's switch to hoops if we could. Real quick, I know that the WNBA draft is going on. Caitlin Clark, no surprise there, goes number one. Cameron Brink from Stanford goes number two. And then Angel Reese goes number seven. So those are some of the bigger names folks might be familiar with. You got anything to add there?
I was going to say at number three, the Camila Cardoso from South Carolina, that the big gal. That was a superstar in that.
I think we should call her the tall gal.
The tall gal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. I'm just
for women.
For whatever reason, when it's a woman, it doesn't feel right. Same big man feels right.
That's fair.
Big gal just feels
the tall gal.
Yeah.
Actually, Angel and Cardoso will be on the same team this upcoming year, so that'll be a fierce tandem down below.
Yeah.
Whether they're on the court at the same time, who knows? Might be a couple years, but. It'll be interesting to see how the Chicago Sky, who got them, look in the next couple years. So,
yeah, I think it's on the rise. I think we could all agree. But let's talk NBA, if you don't mind, because
absolutely,
what we saw yesterday was one of the best days in regular season memory that I can remember in forever, maybe best ever. Last day of the regular season. The number one seed in the East was up for grabs, and there was all sorts of teams moving all around yesterday. I'm sorry, the number one seed in the West. West was open. The number one seed in the East has been wrapped up by Boston for quite some time, but it's pretty bunched up behind them. 2 through 10 aren't separated by all that much, and then the West is just an absolute bloodbath this year. I don't even know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you could look up the odds for me if you get a chance for futures of who's got the best odds to win. I would imagine it's got to be Boston with Denver right behind them would be my guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah? Okay.
I just don't know exactly what those odds are.
Okay.
I'll look those up
right now. Yeah, no problem. But in the West, let's stay with the West for a second, because for the second year in a row, the Warriors and Kings are going to meet with something on the line. This technically isn't the postseason, but it is the postseason. I don't know why they don't just call it the postseason. I guess it's to get into the postseason. But this is a loser goes home game. Mm-hmm. The Kings, obviously injured this year. I think Malik Monk going out was just
massive.
An astronomical loss to that team. He's been so vitally important. I decided earlier this year that I was going to stop hating on the Kings and it would actually start rooting for them whenever they weren't playing the Warriors. And so I've been watching a lot of Kings basketball, and Malik Monk is incredibly important to what they do offensively. His athleticism, his energy, his scoring ability, that's going to be missed. The Warriors have had the Kings number, but again, this is a one game sample size. This isn't necessarily the best team or the team with the most experience. This is the team that comes out and puts on the best performance Tuesday night. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. in Sacramento, Golden One. It's going down. I try to buy tickets. I'm just not paying $200 for nosebleeds. I refuse. That's ridiculous. Not for a play-in. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm just not doing that.
So I got those futures. You wanted the champion.
Yeah, correct. Give me a couple. Yeah. Maybe give me like the top five. I'm curious.
All right, so you got Boston Celtics at plus 150, Nuggets at plus 300. Here's where it starts getting a little bit steeper. Clippers at plus 1400, along with the Bucks and the Thunder at plus 1400. Then you have Mavericks plus 1600.
I like that.
And then Timberwolves at plus 1800, along with the Sixers. And then from there on, Suns, Lakers.
That's
Knicks.
A massive drop.
Yeah, I was going to say. And honestly, the Thunder have been playing pretty good. I don't know if they're going to be able to take over the Nuggets on this one, but That'd be a good one, a little sleeper pick.
Yeah, that's some great value.
Which one? For the Thunder at plus 1,400.
That's
again,
really good.
Don't think it's going to happen, but
no,
that's a good sleeper.
If you're going to drop any money, that's
I was
going to
say
that.
That's where
I like the value on the Mavs, dude. The Mavs have been playing really, really well since All-Star break. Kyrie and Luka have figured it out offensively. They've really played really, really well off one another, which has been really interesting to see. The Suns also...
Suns woke up.
Woke up finally. Yeah. Bradley Beal's been playing really well these past the past 6 weeks or so, and so I wouldn't sleep on them either. I thought a few weeks ago they played at San Antonio, and just staying up late one night, Steph was knocked out. I was like, all right, I'll just throw this game on. The Suns looked like they had no interest in being in the building that night. They looked like they had no interest in playing professional basketball. Yeah. The effort they gave was pathetic. And for a team that was on the verge up until yesterday, I believe, of not even making the postseason and being in a play-in game, you'd think they'd have a little more sense of urgency, but they've turned it around. They went 7-3 in their last 10, and coming down the stretch, they had the hardest strength of schedule in the league, and they managed to find their way into the postseason. So
yeah, and plus Grayson Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Probably he's their best player in my
getting
mind.
Paid. Was it plays, today or yesterday?
Yeah, today he got that $70 million
$70 million for 4 years
extension.
Yep.
But he's a scrapper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's a tough dude. I know you guys don't like him because he went to Duke, but
and he's dirty.
Yeah. But at the same time,
he's a Duke fan.
I like.
Oh,
him.
You are.
I mean,
that's right. You are. You're not.
I think he's dirty, but at the same time. I gotta support my Duke
players.
But
I could care less. Be dirty because he's that guy.
Don't be dirty. Be that guy. Just don't
everyone
be dirty.
In
don't
NBA
go kicking
dirty.
Anybody in the nuts.
Everyone does that.
So we got
everyone.
Yeah.
He puts a little extra on it.
Yeah, he does.
He's been
a little curve on it.
He's been hunting dudes' packages for far too
since
long
since college.
Yeah, and, I was at the game on Friday night against the Kings, and that was probably the coolest thing I saw witness watching a bunch of Kings fans just being on such a high, being up like 18 plus points, and then but what happens? ISO to Fox, and ball gets stolen out of his hands. It was that easy? So.
Well, for that Golden State Warriors Kings game, the Warriors at a -2.5 money line's a -150.
Can you look up what their season record was? I want to say the Warriors took.
It's the same. Oh, between the two. Sorry,
between the two.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
yeah, I can look that up.
Yeah, they're head to head. I want to say the Warriors took 3 of 4, but I could be.
No, that's wrong. Because if that was the case, the Warriors would be at home.
Good point.
Yeah. So give me 1 second. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
They
no
might
problem.
Be tied, but obviously the Kings have the tiebreaker or whatever it is.
Yeah. No, that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, I think the Warriors are going to win. They have the better team right now, especially with if Malik Monk was playing, I'd choose the Kings.
Sure.
But the Warriors have the team. If Klay Thompson shows up, does decent. Draymond's going to do his thing. Curry's going to do his thing. Wiggins, was a coin flip. But
whoever knows with Wiggs.
Yeah, but the Warriors should win this game tomorrow, in my eyes. And I might sprinkle something on it, but I think the Warriors take it tomorrow night.
One would hope. We'll see. I do think it's fun to have this budding rivalry here in the North State between the Kings and the Warriors. The Kings were what the Warriors were on the trajectory to be what the Warriors ended up becoming. There's always been a little bit of hostility between Sacramento and the Bay Area. There's always been a bit of a rivalry, which I always find funny, is there's always like these interstate rivalries, you know what I mean? Like, we're better than you because we have this. We're better than you because we have this. It's like, I mean, we're 2 hours apart, guys, not an hour and a half apart. It's not that big of a deal.
Two and two.
Yeah, so even right there.
Okay. Whatever the tight.
Yeah, and they're all very tight games. Sacramento won 134-133, 124-123. Golden State won 102-101, 122-114. So we should be in for a big game. Very, very tight scoring game.
And then let's talk about my lake show and the Pelicans.
Yep. the your Lakers did what they needed to do against the Pelicans earlier this week to boost their seeding, and they are now playing the Pelicans in New Orleans. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
In New Orleans. That's games on Tuesday as well. What do you think about your Lakers? Anthony Davis goes out with what appears to be a lower back injury.
Lower back. Who knows what that guy? Someone blows air on him, he's going down to the ground.
Yeah.
But he's suiting up. He said he's ready to rock and roll. At the same time, I kind of want to lose this game. So if we win tomorrow, we have to face Denver in the first round.
Mm.
And no one wants to face Denver at all.
Yeah.
Because you know how Denver's just a powerhouse.
Yeah.
They play defense. They score points. I don't need to brag about Denver because they're just a great team, and I think they're going to win it again this year. But I think the Lakers should win this game tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so too. But it's going to be tough
Pelicans,
in New Orleans.
Pelicans got squad too, man. As Zion shows up.
I want the Lakers to lose, and I want the Warriors to win so we could get Lakers-Kings, loser goes home.
That would be dope.
That would be great.
I would go to that game if that happens, 100%.
I mean, I just love that these California teams are finally getting in the mix and playing each other in the playoffs. It sucked losing to the Lakers last year, but it's fun for the radio show. It's good for us when we have these rivalries. It's good to talk trash to all my Kings friends. Mm-hmm. And that's what, again, just the essence of sports and being a fan of sports, being able to talk trash to your friends. That's the entire point.
That's exactly
of becoming a sports fan is to disrespect your friends.
All of us liking the same team. That would be pointless.
It was fun for Michigan, but I mean,
It's fun for us just because that's the only team collectively we all root for,
and then it's all rivalry from there on, which is nice. I like it.
Yeah, it keeps things fresh around here.
100%.
It would be real boring if we agreed all the time.
Yeah, that's not good radio.
No.
That's not good friendships at all.
And we're all pretty spread out with, like I was thinking about it, we're all pretty spread out with our teams outside of the Giants and the Dodgers. Outside of that, we're pretty spread out.
Yeah. No, I dig it. I did want to talk about I don't actually want to talk about it. I was going to talk about the Heat Sixers. I don't really care to talk about it that much unless you guys got anything on it.
Boston should take it in the East, but somehow they'll find a way to choke at the end.
Probably.
That's my prediction. Yeah. But
that's what they do best.
I think it's an open floor in the East. So we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. So I can't do this anywhere near the amount of justice that our boy Derek would do, so I'm not going to do his whole foot and mouth opening or anything like that. I will just say that yesterday, the top of the table in the Premier League got all shaken up. Liverpool losing to Crystal Palace. I mean, what are we doing?
What? How and
that
why?
Ridiculous.
I mean, especially Klopp's last year there. Come on, guys, dude. Really? Arsenal losing to Aston Villa. That's nothing crazy.
Aston Villa's at least a good team. Yeah. And that match was crazy. Two goals scored in the matter of, I think, 90 seconds after being blanked most of the game. And Aston Villa had two different balls before that go off the crossbar. So they were hunting posts all day, and finally at the end, we were able to get a couple goals there.
Yeah.
So now at the top of the table, Man City is sitting all alone with 73 points, and right behind them, Arsenal and Liverpool with 71 respectively. So top of the league, top of the tables
once again, Man City, which I mean,
no surprise,
so damn good. It's
they started off kind of slow this year.
Yeah, they did, but now that everyone's back healthy, which it doesn't matter because they got three starting teams and they're including their reserves, it's Man City's to lose. So
yep,
which sucks because I'm sure all of us are pretty tired.
You don't
want
to see a team that just pays to get a championship.
Yeah, exactly.
It's boring.
Yeah, it's stupid.
A lot of interesting games going on in Champions League. Starting tomorrow, we have Barcelona versus PSG at noon, and we have Man City Real Madrid at noon as well. So,
which is winner take all because they both drew. So,
oh
yeah,
whoever wins those games is going to advance to the next round. So tune in if you're around, or at least watch the highlights when you get home on YouTube. They're about 10 to 15 minutes long, and it shows you every key moments in the game.
And don't forget, over in the Bundesliga, the Bayern Leverkusen.
Yep, finally clinched, baby.
Clinched it, but they're still undefeated. So I don't know what the – I mean –
I think there's like four games left, I believe.
Yeah, give or take. That's what it looks like, about four games left. But I don't know if any of you guys know if there's been any team that have actually gone undefeated.
I don't know. Bayern's, I mean, I want to be in the Premier League
I'll look it up, but it's like I just have it off the top of my head.
Yeah, in the Bayern might have done it because they've dominated for so damn long. But it's good to see them not winning. You know, I mean, they've won it 11 years in a row.
Yeah,
11.
That's crazy.
And, shout out to them. Shout out to the scenes on Sunday or Saturday. The game wasn't even over, and they scored, like, that third goal. And the fans were already on the sidelines ready to barge in, which they eventually got on the field, and it was straight madness on that pitch. So if you haven't seen those scenes, check it out. It's pretty cool. Kids, moms, grandmas are crying left and right. I mean, damn, that's just wild. And it was the first time winning the league, too, in their history.
Wow.
So
wow,
it meant even more to
that's
those
awesome.
Fans. So shout out to them.
That's awesome. Real quick, some breaking news coming through right now.
The
U.S. men's national basketball team roster is getting finalized. LeBron James is back in the mix.
Woo-hoo!
Steph Curry back in the mix.
Wow.
Kevin Durant. Durant back in the mix.
Oh, so it's going to be everyone.
Yep. It looks like Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Halliburton. That's a
squad.
We're
not losing a game.
They better win.
We should. Wait, you say Joel Embiid? I thought he was Canadian.
Yeah, he's African. But he's a citizen here. So you can go to your country of origin, or if you have like some dual citizenship.
Yeah, but he played for Canada before, right?
Did he?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Joel Embiid, I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
Well, little breaking news for you.
Anywho,
USA! 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 Summer Olympics coming up.
We'll get the
countdown from our girl Erin here in just a few minutes. She'll be on with us to discuss the Masters. I know we talked a lot about the Masters last week, and we barely even mentioned it, but that's because we wanted to save it for Erin. So don't get mad at me. Get mad at yourself, okay? Just chilling for a second. We got it. This is nice. This is a good time to remind y'all. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico People Powered Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. As always, we want to thank you for spending some of your evening with your friends here talking about practice, Chico's only. And by only, I mean best. And by best, I mean by default, sports talk radio show. Your boy Drew, Rude Dog, Statman Brad, all in the building. And we're brought to you by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and custom embroidery in Chico since 1980. That's older than all of us. The Printed Image is open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525. Just wanted to get out in front of this. I've had a couple people hit me up lately asking about t-shirts, and I am finalizing an order for more TBP shirts and Flipside the Radio t-shirts. Should have that order done by next week. Once it's completed, we will start slanging t-shirts again.
Nice.
And if you are one of those folks who wants to get in on the t-shirt fun, holler at us and send us your size so we can get you on the pre-order list and make sure you get a t-shirt. All right, that's it. That's a bit of business I have. Do you want to get our girl Erin on the
I will get her on. Yep.
On the line here. That gives me a little bit of time to remind everyone Our friend Calvin Black is performing this Friday. He's opening for Talib Kweli, the legend, at the Big Room here in Sierra Nevada. I'm very upset about this news because I had tickets to that show and I sold my tickets because we decided to go celebrate our friend Darren's birthday. And now I'd still like to go to the show. Yeah.
Here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, D, but we might have other plans.
Yeah, it's kind of rough.
I'd rather do that than go to SAC any day.
Yeah, I mean,
I love you, Darren. You know that you're my dog, but
yeah, I mean,
at the Big Room too.
I really, 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 really want to go. I'm really bummed out that we can't be there. But, you know, Darren is always a soldier, and whenever we have plans, he always comes through. So I can't not go, you know.
100%.
But I'm bummed. I wanted to do a little interview with the guys before. But again, this Friday, I believe doors open at 6:30. You might want to check, but definitely go check my man out. It's going to be awesome. Talib Kweli, absolute hip-hop legend. As I take a sip of water very professionally on air, but I'm dying over here, so have to do what I have to do. We're shorthanded right now, all right? Derek's out. He's going to a Dodgers game tonight. I hope he brings him bad luck, as he usually does.
Yeah, he usually does when he attends a game in L.A.
Yep, exactly.
Game 7 of the World Series. He attended. What happens? They lose.
That's right. So from one Dodgers fan.
He's a cheater, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's all good. They still lost.
It's fine. From one Dodgers fan to another, let's bring in our foreign correspondent. We bring in Aaron every week to help us class up the show and cover the sports we paid far too little attention to. So we do that now, and we're going to chat about the Masters. Aaron, hello.
Hey there. How's it going, guys?
What's up, girl?
We're doing just dandy. The weather out here is just immaculate.
It's finally
after
perfect.
A rainy, rainy weekend. It's absolutely gorgeous. So we're doing great. How you doing?
Oh, not bad, not bad. Enjoyed the Masters this weekend. It was a great weekend of golf.
Sure was. Other than, I mean, Scotty, like, chill out, man. We were hoping that his wife was going to go into labor, so
everyone did. I mean, yeah.
Rudy could win some money, but
Hold on, I still won a lot of money.
Okay,
yeah, I did bet on. If you listen to the show last week, I said bet on Scotty because he's going to win, but these are my other dogs. But no one wants to see Scotty win again, so.
But for tax purposes, that was fun money.
Fun money.
Fun money. Yeah. Yeah.
Funny money.
Monopoly money.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't place bets.
No, never. No. Never.
Yeah. These are friendly bets, verbal bets between you and I.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. All right, Aaron, give us some of the highlights from this past weekend at the Masters.
I'm going to go with, this might be an unusual highlight, but my personal highlight was Tiger's career worst at plus 16. Yeah. He made the cut. And you know what? To what end, Tiger? To what end?
Just to keep the streak alive, to break the record, I'm guessing.
To break the record, yeah.
But he had a career worst at plus 16. Did you see him out there? He looked awful. It was I almost felt bad for him. He was, like, dripping sweat. He looked haggard. He was limping. Not a great look.
No, yeah, I agree.
He does not look good, that's for
sure. He played well, obviously, to make the cut, but that was his Masters, just to make the cut. He knew in the back of his head that, oh, yeah, there's no way I'm going to win this against these dogs out there. But, yeah, day four. The coolest part about that is he did link up with that
with the amateur,
and how cool would that be? Playing a round of 18 with Tiger Woods at Augusta? I mean, come on. That is epic.
For sure, but again, not a great showing. Different, and it was like, what a different showing from Scotty. At one point, we did think that it was going to be close because there were four people tied at 6 under for first place, but that was in the back nine. Everyone fell apart. Colin Morikawa, Max Homa couldn't birdie putt to save his life. And then we had a newbie on that got second place, Ludwig Åberg.
He's my dog. Åberg. Yes, he's a great player.
He was great. He was fantastic. He did dump the ball in the water at the 15th, but he recovered quite nicely. He got second place. season. It's his first time in the Masters to get second place behind Scottie Scheffler. It was pretty impressive. And even though Scottie won by 4 strokes, that was still a great Masters. We had some hope before, you know, the back nine that something exciting might happen. But, you know, Scottie does what he does best.
Yeah, Scottie was locked in. He is so calm and collective. The thing with him is his second shot, he gets so damn close to the pin that his putting doesn't have to be great. But yeah. Now that he found his putter this season, it's like, dude, it doesn't matter. He is just locked in. But everyone else played well. Tommy Fleetwood had some flashes. Bryson DeChambeau killed it Thursday and Friday, and then he melted because it's the Masters. You need to be focused, laser focused all 4 days.
And same thing with DeChambeau. He could not birdie putt to save his life either. It was pretty sad.
Yeah, and then a shout out to myself for making the biggest drinks known to man. I had Hogard. If you listened to the show last week, hopefully he made a little bit of money on him. But once he took the sole lead on Saturday, I believe, I texted the group chat like, Hogard, let's go. And they followed up with, I think, 5 or 6 bogeys in a row. And I'm like, you got... So, Hogard, if you're listening, I'm sure he is. I'm sorry, dog. My bad. That will not happen again.
Yep. You jinxed that one, huh, bud?
100%. So, but at the end of the day, Scottie Scheffler killed it. So,
yep. I didn't think the... I don't know. The conditions of what was that on Friday were nuts.
With all the wind.
With the wind and the greens were all getting sandy because the wind was blowing the bunker, blowing the sand from the bunker right onto the greens. That was insane. You're seeing guys drop it on the green and just the sand splash up afterwards, which was kind of crazy. And that course looks impossible to play. I would shoot like a 200 on that course.
I'll give up after the first 6.
The undulation on that course is crazy. Those guys are really good at what they do. Scottie Scheffler is insane. And he's now learning how to putt, which is scary. So we'll see. What's the next big tournament, Aaron? Do you know?
Let's see.
We got the RBC Heritage this weekend, South Carolina, and
it's mid May.
Okay.
That's the next big one, but yeah, we've got a few tournaments in the next few weeks.
All right, very good. I know you weren't prepped for this. We're going to get into the questions in just 1 second, but you got anything on hockey as we're about finished, right? We're about to postseason.
About finished. I think the biggest news here is that it looks like Utah is going to be getting a team.
No kidding.
Coyotes, right?
Yeah, Coyotes are leaving.
The rumor is it's been announced to the team yet, so... the group led by Alex Smith that bought the Jazz is really interested in bringing a lot of big things to Salt Lake City, and they're really interested. And this rumor has been going around for a while. Supposedly they announced it to the players that the current owner is going to sell to the NHL, and then the NHL will sell it to. Ryan Smith's group. So it looks like we're getting a team. I'm pretty excited about that.
Congrats. Nice. Are you going to switch allegiances then?
Ooh.
I don't know. It feels kind of wrong. That. I've already switched once.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like she could because now a team's moving into her region.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would allow it.
Yeah. Like,
we'll think about it. We'll see once the team gets there.
And I'll keep you posted. The Coyotes aren't very good, though, so maybe selfishly I'll stay with the Avalanche if it looks like they're going to make it, and I'll just go see the Avalanche when they come play the Coyotes.
There you go.
I mean, there's talks about them possibly changing the name, right?
Oh, they're for sure changing.
I was going to say.
They're going to move, yeah. And then one other quick thing on hockey, Austin Matthews is one goal away from hitting 70.
Wow.
Hasn't happened in 30-something years, so.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Who was the last person to do it? Do you know who?
It was probably the great one.
30 years ago. I don't know.
Okay.
Who played 30 years ago.
Fair enough.
I'll look it up, but I'm almost certain it's the great one.
It was probably,
All right. Can we get into some questions now?
Let's do it.
All right. This one comes in wife's friend. All right. TBP, big fan and former D2 long jumper here. I've been married to my wife for 3 years, and our relationship is amazing. We both have decent money. We aren't balling or anything, but no children yet, so we have enough for all of our social endeavors.
Let's go.
And we have a very active social life here in San Francisco. I am from the area, and many of my core group is still here. We have a good amount of bars near us, and we go out quite a bit with our group. My wife gets along with everyone just fine and is friendly with the wives in the group, but they aren't besties or anything like that. She doesn't really spend much time getting to know some of the auxiliary girls that my single friends bring around because they trade them out so often, like lunch during recess in elementary school. Her core group is in Sacramento. Or in the Sacramento area, I should say. We go up there once every other month or so, but my wife would really like to spend more time with them. A few months back, one of her friends from childhood that is a member of this core group relocated to the Bay Area for work, and she lives about 45 minutes away from us. Being that she just moved, she doesn't have many friends in her area, so she has been coming over to SF and staying with us on the weekends. I see where this is headed. At first, it was great to see my wife so happy and to have one of her girls out here with us. I am honestly really happy for her because she has been such a good sport about hanging with my friends. However, her trips to visit have become more and more frequent. It went from every other weekend or so to every weekend with the occasional Thursday night mixed in, as Fridays are optional for her to have to go into the office and my wife works at home. So now we usually get her Thursday and she leaves Sunday. No breaks in between. When she first started coming around, I picked up the tab just because she just moved here and I wanted to be supportive, as I know how expensive moving to the Bay can be. It has gone from being a nice thing I would do every now and then to becoming expected. She is now over at least 2 to 3 days out of the week each week.
Nope.
I want my wife to be happy, but that this seems to be a bit much. She is practically a roommate now, and that isn't exactly what I thought I was signing up for. How should I handle the situation? I'm worried that if I mention this to my wife, she may get upset, or this might grow resentment since we hang out with my friends so often. If you were in my shoes, what would you do to approach this? Should I say something directly to her? Should I say something directly to her friend? Should I try tiptoeing around the subject to my wife and being a little passive aggressive? What should I do? Hey, Aaron, you're a lady. Yeah.
There's a huge difference between hanging out with your friends a lot and someone living with you part-time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, no, absolutely. The fact that she expects you to pay for her is insane.
Wow.
Like, she spends the night with you. That's enough. And I would kind of treat this like the in-laws thing, right? If, you know, your partner has a problem with your parents, you're the one that has to deal with the parents. Your wife should put two and two together. If she hasn't already, then I think you need to have a conversation with your wife that, hey, listen, look, I like your friend, but, you know, my house is my house, and sometimes I don't want your friend to be here. And also, she's expensive. Like, the fact that she expects you to pay is still crazy to me. Like, that is, like, absolutely not. So I think you need to have a conversation with your wife, and your wife should break the news to her friend.
I couldn't agree more. I don't have a whole lot to add. I like the idea of being passive aggressive just because I like pettiness.
Yeah.
And I think it would be funny if you were just to leave a load of laundry out and be like, hey, would you mind?
Would you mind doing these dishes too?
Yeah. You think you can knock out some of these dishes, or just Venmo requesting her for a third of the PG&E?
PG&E, water, trash.
Yeah, I think doing stuff like that,
that's too much,
would be funny. But no, I think Aaron's suggestion is best. Go to your wife and just, you know, be delicate. Like, hey, listen, you know, I love so-and-so, and I love that she's here, and you guys have this budding relationship. The other idea is, can your wife from time to time go stay with her?
Yeah.
I understand maybe, I don't know where she lives exactly, and probably, you know, there's, you guys already have this built-in group. She doesn't have many friends where she is in the Bay Area. But here's the thing, she's not going to make any friends where she is if she's staying with you all the time.
Hanging out with the one couple, that's it.
Right.
She deserves to venture out a little bit.
So I would say if you could I would have the talk that Aaron mentioned, and I think the one workaround is like, hey, do you think, would it make sense for us to go out there every now and then, or for you to go out there every now and then, or can, at the very least, can we dial this back to not every single weekend?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Occasionally, I just want to, you know, wake up in my own house and walk around in my boxers, and I want to, you know, I pay for this place. You know, I don't know what your arrangement is, but I'm assuming you pay at least half of the bills, you know, so you, I think that's fair. You guys got anything else to add to that?
No, that's perfect.
Yeah,
that's
solid.
Okay. One more. This one's a little more brief. All right, this one is titled, My Sister Kinda Sucks Now. Yo, friends at TBP, I love the show, and I have been listening for the past 4 years, every single Monday, except when I get caught up at work. Even when I miss the show, I go back and listen to the archive shows.
Let's go.
That I miss. Side note, what's up with the pod? Side note, we can't record the show in studio anymore.
Still?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still have an issue.
We're still working through that, so we're sorry.
We're losing fans left and right, though.
Yeah,
this
we're
not good.
We're hoping to... to have that rectified when the new board gets put in place, but for now you're stuck with the archives. Anyway, my sister and I have always been close. We are just 2 years apart, and we have similar interests. We both love sports, particularly basketball and baseball, and we go to as many games together as we can. However, recently, my sister got her first big girl job and started dating a guy whose parents are very rich, and now she kind of sucks. She's always busy. Which I totally understand, but she is constantly flaking on family gatherings or plans that we made together. A few weeks ago, we were going to go to the Kings game, and she texted me the morning of that she couldn't make it with no real explanation. Ugh. Which, by the way, guys, if you're going to bail on something, no explanation is the best way to go if you haven't already previously committed. So a no with no explanation, let's normalize this. For all my friends that work in bars and restaurants, someone asks you if you can cover a simple I can't.
Yes or no.
Or no, because that you cannot follow up a no. A no does not have a follow-up. Anyway. This past Christmas, a few weeks ago, she bailed on me for the Kings game, no explanation. This past Christmas, her and I got each other for Secret Santa, and she didn't even bother to get me anything. Her excuse was that she's been too busy. This year was our dad's 60th birthday, and she showed up late and hungover and said that she was out at a concert late the night before and apologized for being late. My sister is only 26 years old, so I get it to some point. I understand when we're younger, we all make mistakes, but it's not like I'm super mature and old. I'm 28. I just think this new career plus her new rich boyfriend has gone to her head. Should I try and reason with her and explain how annoying it is when she bails on plans and how rude it is to show up at family events hungover? Should I accept the fact that she sucks now and nothing is going to change until she either grows out of this phase or she just will suck forever? Should I try and drop some poison pills in her relationship and mention in front of her new boyfriend that her ex is still in her life and still shows up to my parents' house from time to time to say hello and check in on them?
Yes. Let's go.
What is the proper way to get this off my chest but not make her hate me for the rest of our lives?
This is a juicy one.
This is fun. Yeah. Do you have something?
I'm going petty. Do that. Yeah. Do exactly that.
Okay.
Well, that's a tiny bit extreme, but I think with family, you can be a little more aggressive. This is coming from someone who has a number of siblings, and I'm sure I have been that sibling at times, too, when you get a new boyfriend and a fancy new job. But you can tell your sister, hey, you suck, dude. You're doing this stuff, and it's lame, and I see it, and I notice it. And just because I'm your sibling doesn't mean you got to treat me like trash. And I totally agree with you, like, as an adult, we can say just no. But with your sibling, you can be like, no, this is, you need to give me more than that. I'm your sibling. We were close before. You owe me more than that. I think with family, you can be a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. And to be clear, saying no with no explanation doesn't work when you've already committed to something. You owe someone an explanation if you've already committed. Where you could get away with that is if someone asks you, can you, do you want to, would you be down to, just no or I can't. That bails you out of any backpedaling and someone convincing you to do something you don't want to do. I do agree that because it's blood, you can call her up and just be like, hey, man, listen, you know, I love you. You're my little sister and all that. But you kind of suck lately. You bailing on this Kings game was a real bummer. You showing up to dad's birthday party.
60th birthday.
60th birthday party. Hungover. Like,
not cool.
I get it. But, like, pull yourself together. At least be on time. If you're going to be hungover, it's always better to be on time and bail early than be late.
Yeah.
It's always – you can always make up an excuse to leave anything early if you're not feeling it. But I also remember being 26, and Lord knows I disappointed my mom more than a handful of times, showing up not in the best shape, showing up banged up to like a Christmas dinner, not always awesome. We've all been there in our 20s, showing up to Thanksgiving after a rough Wednesday out now that all the crew's back home. We've all been there.
Yeah.
So I think you can empathize and just say, hey, you know, let's clean this up a little bit. And,
yeah. Just be straight up and put her in check too, because sometimes she might need to hear that.
Yeah, that's what big bros are for.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
I think. I don't know. I've never had to check my sister. She's way smarter and more mature than me, so there's nothing.
I mean, I check my brothers all the time. But
yeah.
They do the same to me too, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. For the person calling, if you want to call after the show, I can answer. Right now, I'm not able to answer, so.
All right. PSA. There you go. Aaron, excellent as always. We will chat with you next week. Thank you for the time.
Sounds good. 102 days till the Olympics, guys.
Let's go. I told you we'd get our countdown from Aaron. There we go.
102
days. All right. Thank you. As always, Aaron was excellent. Let's knock out a couple of things here. We got we have Rudy's picks. We have North State update. Are you ready with your picks? Are you ready with North State update?
Either way, let's go.
Yeah, either way, you pick one.
All right, Rudy's picks.
Tell you, it's just occurred
my
to
figure's
me
on the button.
Has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy.
I'm gambling again.
Another week down of golf. Another profitable week in golf, I should say. Could
Let's
have been
go.
A lot better, but hey, it is what it is. Scottie Scheffler is that guy. But we move on. New money, new tourney. We stay out east in South Carolina at the RBC Heritage Open. With the fully loaded squad out there. My picks, real quick, Auberg, we all saw him do his thing. I think he's going to continue on that ride. Plus 1,500, plus 140 for a top 20 finish. Morikawa, I'm riding with him as well, at plus 2,500 for the win and plus 180 for top 20. And then I'm going to call this a comeback for a couple of guys as well. Spieth, I think, is going to show up. Plus 2,800, great value for that guy. And plus 270 at top 20. Wyndham Clark, plus 2,800 again. Comeback. And then my sleepers for overall win. Shane Lowry at plus 6,000. And Ricky Fowler and both Kitayama at plus 8,500. And then nice. Switching to Punta Cana Championship, my boy Hogard. Yes, Hogard, he's going to wake up, and he's actually the favorite for that at plus 1,200. So there you go. Place him in. Let's go get that money. Let's get it.
Nice.
I dig it. All right. North State update, sir.
Here we go.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
All right, Chico State softball currently 11-20 overall, 10-15 in conference. Unfortunately, fortunately they split the weekend this past weekend against they moved it from this past weekend to. They had a game today. They're playing currently right now against Cal Poly Humboldt. They had to move it due to weather, but they're at Cal Poly Humboldt right now. They'll play one more today and two tomorrow, and then they're going to be the next series will be at San Francisco State this weekend, Friday and Saturday, barring weather. Their next home game is going to be the last series of the year, April 26th and April 27th, before the CCAA playoffs. Going to baseball, they are 21-15 overall, 15-12 in conference. They just played Colorado Mesa in Colorado. They lost the first three games, but came back and won 12-9 in 10 innings. So call it a successful one. Unfortunately, they dropped two major games they were close in, 13-14 and 7-11, but then got blown out 5-13 on that doubleheader, that second game. They'll be coming back to Cal State Monterey Bay Friday at home, doubleheader on Saturday, and single game on Sunday the 21st. And real quick, big news in Chico State baseball as former alumni Luke Barker gets signed with the the Seattle Mariners.
Nice.
Minor league. He's going to be reporting to Tacoma Rainiers here shortly. So good for him getting back on the horse over there, making the majors.
Shout out to his mom, Anita. She's awesome.
So, yeah,